Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Connie Going. Welcome to Adoption Focus. This is a radio blog talk show that is sponsored by Adoption Associates. They are an amazing adoption agency in Michigan, and they have offices in Jenison, Farmington Hills, Lansing, and northeastern Michigan. They have been in service since 1990, and they specialize in domestic adoptions and international adoptions. And to this date, they have done well over 5,000 adoptive placements. Adoption Associates is committed to each and every child and parent. They care and walk them through the adoption journey. They are a Christian organization, but their services are open to clients of all faiths. For more information, you can reach them at 1-800-677-2367. We are excited to have with us a wonderful young woman, and her name is Brooke. And Brooke, are you on the line?
I am.
Oh, thank you for calling in. And you live in Michigan, correct?
Actually, we're in Illinois now.
Oh, okay. So it's a little bit cooler in Illinois right now.
It is. Yep, it's sweater and jeans days, so that's good.
Oh, that's exciting because it's 81 here in Florida.
Oh, I don't know. I'd much rather be there then.
I miss the fall. I definitely miss the fall. So I want to thank you so much for giving your time today to be on our show. And want to tell everyone a little bit about your story is you are a birth mother.
I am.
And you placed your daughter over 13 years ago. Is that correct?
That's correct. She just turned 14 in August.
Oh, wow. Tell us how your journey started.
Well, I grew up in Grand Rapids, Michigan, and when I was 17, I had just changed schools. We switched over to a small town, and I was trying to fit in. I was trying to be with everyone, and just kind of went down made a wrong turn. When I found myself pregnant, I didn't have a relationship with the birth father. We had broken up a couple months prior, and when I told him I was pregnant, he was excited, wanted to parent and get married and all that. And I'm thinking, I'm 17, my life is over. And I was devastated. I grew up in a Christian Reformed home, and you know, my parents were very strict and told me, if you even think you're pregnant, keep walking. We don't come home. That's just not what we do. So it was a really scary time in my life telling my parents, and you know, they came around to being supportive after I think the shock wore off. And so I found myself pregnant, and my mom, I came from a broken home, and my mom had actually placed my younger sister for adoption when I was 3. And so I knew of adoption to be, quote-unquote, open, but we had no contact with my sister that my mom had released. And so I felt like totally negative about adoption. And so when my mom brought it up, I said, absolutely not. I will not have a relationship the way that you have with Karen / Rebecca with her birth name. And so I was planning on parenting, and I planned on parenting for quite a while. I was about 6 months pregnant when my youth pastor said, you know, we have a family in our small group, and they are have an adopted daughter, and they're planning on adopting again, and they're looking for biracial adoption, which Maya wasn't going to be. And so he said, it's no pressure. Why don't you let them come over and tell you what an adoptive family is like? And I you know, begrudgingly agreed. And so I sat on my couch with my arms crossed, you know, 6.5 months pregnant, as they spoke to me. And I was kind to them, but I was very firm with them. I was like, I just want to know, you know, what you have to say, and that's about it. And they brought Isabel, their adopted daughter, and she was biracial, and she's the cutest little thing. And they're talking about Adina, Isabel's birth mom, in front of her. and they were like saying how much they loved her, and I was shocked. I was in complete utter shock that this little girl, and they said, "Who's Adina?" And she goes, "I was in her tummy," and you know, they said the sweetest things, and I'm thinking, this is so different, you know, in my head, but in my heart, I'm thinking, you know, this is great for someone, but I loved this child inside of me so much already, and I was like, there's no way. So they left, and we, you know, it was great. It was a great meeting, but they left, and it wasn't until May 25th, I know the date, that I watched her birth father. It was his birthday, and I watched him. He kind of had a rough past, and I watched him being taken out of his home. He lived by us, taken out of his home in handcuffs, and go back to jail where he had been before. And at that moment, I fell apart in my car as I watched that, and I realized that I would need his help financially. You know, I was working at KFC at the time, 17-year-old. You know, that's going to school, working at KFC, and and I was like, let's see, I need 2 full-time KFC jobs just to pay for daycare. And I started really thinking, and I realized that not only would I need financial support from him, but he would also get visitations with her. And at that moment, I just realized that it was my mistakes that put me in that place and put her in that place, and I never wanted to get a call in the middle of the night saying, you know, he made some bad choices and your daughter was with her and you have to come pick her up, or now, you know, it just scared me to death. And so I sat down that night and I wrote out a letter, and I said, you know, I wrote down all the things that I couldn't provide for her. And it was heartbreaking. It was, you know, that coming to that realization that it just wasn't going to be. And so then I prayed about it and prayed about it. And then the next day I called John and Victoria, the ones that came over to my house. And I just said, I know this is kind of out of the blue, but I've decided to release her for adoption. And God has pointed you guys in my direction, and she won't be biracial, but I was wondering if you'd still think about taking her. And she said that they would pray about it and get back to me. And the next day they called me back, and they said that we would get together and meet. And so that's where the adoption started. And from that moment, as soon as I made that decision, I knew I couldn't go back on it. And my mission then was to get as close as I could to them, so my heart was connected with theirs, and I wouldn't change my mind. And so we went the next couple months, and then Maya was born, and I named her Jade Alexis, and they kind of gave me 3 names that they liked, and they said Maya, Scarlet, or Marigold, and I was like, Maya, let's do that one. So her name is Maya May, and she was gorgeous. She was the most beautiful baby, and I stayed in the hospital for 3 days with her and had her in my room the whole time, and I actually nursed her, and then I pumped for a month, and we would drop it off at my youth pastor's house, and then they would come pick it up. So I
That's
kind of
incredible.
Struggled.
I don't, you know what, Brooke, how did you come up with that decision?
It was just in my heart. It was just always in my heart that I never wanted her to feel abandoned. I never wanted her to feel unloved or unwanted. I wanted the stories to be able to tell her. I wanted my life and my choices to be able to tell her how much I loved her and how much I cared for her, and I wanted the very, very best for her. I would like to give you as much milk as I can produce until it doesn't happen. And so then they supplemented with milk. And I know that when I said that to John and Victoria, that meant a lot to them. So I knew I was, you know, it wasn't a burden to them, and it, you know, so it was good. I pretty much right afterwards, I immersed myself in a full-time job and full-time college. I started college a week after she was born. I tried really hard to just make myself busy so I could cover up some pain that I just didn't want to deal with. And I made some really bad choices right afterwards, too. I mean, nothing that affected anyone around me, but just internally I was angry and I was frustrated and I was sad. And, you know, there was all this pain. And the agency that Adoption Associates that we released through, they were in our town, and so they were in the town that I was living in, and so that's why we chose them to do the adoption, because it was a designated adoption is what they call that when we found each other outside of the agency. Right. And so Adoption Associates, after having that relationship with me, they asked me, they are wonderful about getting the word out about adoption and trying to change the story or change the vision of people of adoption. And so they would go to high schools and they would speak at high schools. So my social worker at Adoption Associates asked me to speak at the high schools with her sometimes. And I really enjoyed doing that. It was a way that I could talk about it and be out there. And it was about 6 months after Maya was born, and two of my other friends had gotten pregnant, and they had decided to parent. And so I was going through a really rough time of watching, you know, my friends who were the same age as me parenting, and I saw their struggles, and I saw what they were going through, but there was still a part of me that was jealous that right. they, you know, they were getting to hold their babies, they were getting to have their babies call them mama, and all those kind of things. So at my work one day, I went into the back room. I was a manager of a shoe store, and I went into the back room, and I literally just fell to my knees. And my relationship with God was very strained until this point. I was just not making choices based on what maybe His will was for me. And I was definitely following my own path. And I fell on my knees in that store, and I just said, you know, God, I need you. I know I'm distant from you. I know it's me who's walked away from you, but I am asking you, I'm begging you to please use me because I feel worthless. I feel so, there's so much pain inside of me. I don't even know what to do. And the very next day, Adoption Associates called and said, you know, we've been talking about you, and would you come in for an interview here? We thought maybe we would develop a position for you here at Adoption Associates. And I was like, you've got to be kidding me. And I literally just got off the phone and just said, God, thank you. Even if this doesn't work out, thank you for making me feel special.
But that's your affirmation. That was your affirmation.
Yeah, absolutely. And sometimes, you know, we pray and pray and don't hear anything and for a while, and it's in His time, but He immediately, you know, gave me that affirmation. And so I went in the next day for an interview, and they offered me a position. And so I was so blessed to be the liaison between adoptive families and birth moms.
Yeah.
And it was just really cool to hold the hands of these birth moms, be in delivery rooms with birth moms, and be able to hold their hand. And when it was time for them to hand, you know, their most prized possession over to someone who was going to love that child as their most prized possession, it was incredibly moving, and I learned so much, and I got to heal. I was able to talk about Maya. I went into different high schools and spoke about Maya, and you know, on my own, and it was amazing to see the impact of the kids that I spoke to, that they were like, oh, this isn't the way it used to be. You know, it's different. It's changed. And so it was incredible. It was just an incredible time. And I got to grieve. You know, I would leave the hospital after seeing those birth moms hand their children over, and they, you know, walked out sobbing, and, you know, we gave each other a hug, and they'd get in the car with their parents or, whoever would take them home. And I would get in my car, and I would have to stop on the side of the highway and just – I just was uncontrollably, you know, moved by emotion, but it brought me back to that place, you know, which I think is good. It was grieving and it was healing for me to be able to do that. So
Well, and God really used you. He used you to touch people's lives at a point that to think that you're in the delivery room I'm an adoptive mother. I've been a birth mother social worker, and so having had the honor of being there with a birth mom through that process and holding her hand and crying with her and mm-hmm. helping her through that process, I don't think there's a. I think that was God given to share a moment like that with someone, and especially because of your own loss and your journey as a birth mother, that you were there to help them. Mm-hmm. That to me is really what is incredible.
Yeah, God really knew what he was doing in my life and in the lives of the people around me. And I feel like I was blessed way more than I was a blessing. But, you know, God uses all of us in an incredible way if we're willing to let him. And it was just really cool. And my the adoption kind of choice that John and Victoria and I made when I was going to release Maya was that we would see each other for the first 3 years around her birthday, and then we would wait until she was a little bit older to understand so she could kind of grow up without, you know, too many questions and that type of thing. Still did pictures and letters, and we had an incredible time seeing each other, and God, you know, allowed a time frame to work out perfectly, I think. I met my husband. We've been married 12 years now, and I met my husband through one of the birth moms that I helped through the adoption process. She actually had the Mackenzie Grace on adoption stories with TLC, I think.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, TLC. Yeah, and they came in, and she was one of the birth moms that I was. That I spoke at a school, and she heard and came to Adoption Associates, that type of thing. And she was just a great gal. And I was there when she had her daughter, not in the room, but I was at the hospital. And then I was there when she handed Mackenzie Grace over to her adoptive family. And it was just an amazing time. But my husband was a family friend of theirs. And so when Jessica went back home and, you know, was had all the pictures of her daughter, she was showing him the pictures of Mackenzie. And he's looking through the pictures, and he said, "Who is this lady right here?" And she said, "Oh, that's Brooke. And she's, you know, she's a birth mom. She works at the agency, da-da-da, and she's, you know, she's a great gal," or whatever. And Jessica and I had a special relationship, so we were kind of friends as well. She was just 2 years younger than I was, so we had this great relationship. Wow. But he looked at the picture and he put it down. He said, "I'm going to marry that lady someday." And isn't that incredible?
That is incredible.
And so he kind of he wiggled his way into meeting me, and the rest is kind of history. We talk about how he kind of stalked me a little bit, just sat outside my work watching me walking back and forth to the cars. But for some reason or another, he was struck, and we got married on Jessica's birthday the following year. Oh, I'm sorry, the same year. We got married on Jessica's 18th birthday, and she was in our wedding. And so then we got pregnant shortly after that. And so Jessica actually transitioned into my position as I transitioned out to be a mom, a full-time mom. So really the whole bit of it, you know, when people ask, I get the question a lot when I talk about Maya. You know, she's on my Facebook. She's on, you know, we get to see each other. We have a great relationship now. Since she's been 11, we've had contact. And when we go home to Michigan, I call them and say, "Hey, can we get together?" And, "Yeah, come pick her up, and I'll take her for the day," or whatever, and we'll do something fun. But, you know, through that, telling people about her, they ask me, you know, "Do you ever regret?" And I think that there's always pain there for a birth mom, because, you know, right. God did not set us up to hand our children over to other people. It just, right. that's the broken world. And, and so my heart always aches, and there's always a part of me going missing. you know, whenever my husband and our, we have two kids, Jersey is 11 and Job is 9. And and whenever we're doing something, I always feel like there's a piece missing. There's a child right. that's missing in doing those things. But there's never been regret, because if I wouldn't have released Maya, I wouldn't have worked at the agency. Jessica, I wouldn't have helped Jessica. I wouldn't have met my husband. And I wouldn't have my two beautiful children that I have now. And the wonderful thing is, even though I sinned, and there's brokenness in all of this, there's brokenness in the whole picture of it, there's also incredible healing that's happened.
Yes.
That I've been able to be able to witness and see my kids hang out with their, you know, their half-sister, you know, and mm-hmm. they all hang out together, and she'll sing for them and play the piano and all those kind of things, and they're just in awe of her. And she gets to be, you know, she's the youngest one in her family, so she gets to be kind of the older kid when Jersey and Job are around. So it's just been an incredible journey and blessing, and it's just going to keep getting better, I think. So
you're definitely following the path, and I think what I hear so much is that by following that path is that a lot of your pain was healed. And not that it goes away, but that by helping others and touching it, and you were able to get through to some sort of peace inside your spirit.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then blessings came.
Yeah. Incredible blessings, incredible blessings. And it's funny, my kids, Maya, Jersey, and Job, Maya is the only one that looks, she's actually like, they call her my mini-me. She's like my little clone. She looks exactly like me. And the other two look exactly like my husband. So I'm like, oh, that's interesting. But it's so, you know, for in you being an adoptive mom, know that there is a connection between you and your child, whether they grew inside of you or not. And there's this adorable connection. I love seeing Maya with her parents because, mm-hmm. you know, her goofiness and her, around me, she is a little different because, you know, it's just different. I'm kind of a friend more than, you know, a mentor more than anything else. And so I love seeing the relationship between the three of them and the way they're like, oh, Maya, tell Brooke that one thing you did, you know, and it's just so, it's so exciting. And I hope that as things change, you know, from when my sister was released for adoption all the way to now, I hope things continue to change and that people will continue to be open-minded to even the way that families might look a little different, but just know that they have the biggest hearts and that birth moms could maybe talk about it a little bit more to get that healing without feeling, you know, that they could be rejected by anyone.
Absolutely, and I think that just knowing that an adoptive mom can continue to have a relationship with a birth mom, that together they can, I mean, I've seen so much over the years go from closed adoptions to semi-open to completely open, and it's like how, I mean, there's never too much love that a child can have, and I always feel like even though with my children who were adopted as older children from foster care, that their biological family, which they really had some challenges, they are always going to be. I'm so grateful to them because mm-hmm. the children that I have, you know, they're connected to them. And being an adoptive parent is about owning a child. It's about loving a child.
Exactly.
And,
yeah.
and that love you share because, you know, love, I mean, so when a child has really a biological mom and they have an adoptive mom, they're loved twice as much.
Yeah. Yep.
And I think
with
that
the same most pure love, both the birth mom and the adoptive mom have the same, like, kind of pure love for that child that is, to have that from both sides, that's so beautiful. I mean, it's just really cool.
What I admire so much about domestic adoption is when, and in a surrendered adoption, a released adoption, is that you've made a choice that is the most unselfish choice imaginable for your child.
Yeah.
And I don't think that in our whole life, some of us will never be able to be that unselfish.
Hmm. Well, I appreciate that. One of the kind of ways that I would explain it to kids when I would go to high schools, because they're like, how could you do that? And I said, you know what, as a parent, you would do anything for your children. If a truck was coming and they were in the way, you would literally throw them out of the way and be hit so your child would not be hurt. That's just the way parents are. And I said, this was more of an emotional truck. I didn't want her to go through this emotional turmoil that she would have dealing with the use of me and not, you know, not being well rounded, you know, not having anywhere to go after she was born, you know, dealing with maybe being on Medicaid and food stamps and all that, those kind of things. Like, the hardness of life would have been very apparent to her very early on. And then adding in there her birth father's choices. And so I said, I would have rather take on the pain of releasing her into a family that she wouldn't have to deal with any of that, and I will take on that pain for her. And I'm not saying she wouldn't have pain down the road, but thankfully, you know, I think God has helped in that by drawing a relationship between John and Victoria and I, that we can, she's having a hard time or she can't understand something. You know, when she was 9, she had a hard time understanding why I couldn't just come live with them, you know. Why can't her just live with me and you guys? And I don't understand. If she's my birth mom, why can't this happen, you know? And so there was some difficult times, but through having great adoptive parents, and honestly, my husband has been over the top amazing. Just every time we're with her, you know, if we do something fun, like all the four of us and her, we all go bowling, and then my husband says, drop us off at my mom and dad's house, you know, because we're up in Michigan, drop us off, me and the kids, and then you go spend some alone time with her. I think that's important. And just him being, you know, thoughtful of those kind of things is wonderful. And even though my kids are like, no, we get her too, you know. But that's very thoughtful and kind. But through that whole process, you know, I feel like emotionally I maybe took on a little bit more up front. You know, let that Mack truck hit me and let her just grow up and have a great family. So I think that more kids could understand that, like what their parents would do for them if they were in danger, if they were in trouble, what their parents would do for them. And not that I would have tried to put Maya in danger, but I was still trying to grow up, and my mistakes right. that I made wouldn't affect me the way that they were going to affect her. And, you know, thankfully I've been blessed enough that I've heard from Maya's own mouth that you couldn't have picked better parents. And that is a beautiful thing to hear from her, because that's what I long to hear. I knew that, but yeah. I'm just glad that she realizes that. And
well, teens are quite challenging in their own ways.
Yeah.
yours are
teenagers now?
Oh, I adopted at 12. He's now 15. My other son I adopted at 17. So I just adopted him this year. So they spent their life without family at all.
Oh,
so it's a very different type of adoption. But if you follow what is God's journey for you, whether you plan it or not, and you really listen, then you know that you have the children you are supposed to have in your life. I also have two biological daughters, who are 18. I'm a single mom, not, you know, wasn't anything that I planned again. I've been married for 18 years. And really, I believe that if you listen to what God has planned for you and follow that journey, then you will have affirmation after affirmation, and that is what, you know, is supposed to happen. And I have no doubt that our journey was, we were meant to be all together.
Oh, that is so awesome. That's so awesome. Well, God has put on my heart over and over that possibly down the road that maybe we would foster or do something of that nature. My heart is just, it aches for children that don't have someone to call mom and dad, and that permanency. And, you know, I'm just trying to figure out what is me and what is God, and, you know, in between that. But I am just incredibly blessed with the family that I have, the relationship that I have with Maya, you know, the prayer warriors that were out there during that time where I was 17 and didn't know, you know, right from left. I was just incredibly, incredibly blessed. So, yeah.
I have to tell you that your journey and the way that you talk about it is absolutely an inspiration. And I hope that as our listeners are that are tuned in now, and the listeners that pull this up through the web, will definitely listen. And that if you are a birth mom and you're considering adoption, please listen to the way that it can be, and go with what God has put in your heart, and make the choice that is right for you and your child. For adoptive families, I say, you know, I just don't have a higher pedestal than a birth parent. And I believe that by listening to your story, Brooke, that they can learn how you don't have to be afraid of an open adoption, that, you know, a child can be loved by multiple people and multiple moms and dads. And I think that it can be done so well. So to go with, you know, their heart, but to open up their eyes to knowing that it open adoption is amazing.
Yeah, absolutely. And sometimes to a birth mom, especially young, and I long to be called mom. And then after I had Jersey, and then after I had our son Job, you know, and that need kind of got met by them calling me mom and needing me. It's really fun as just to be a birth mom, just to be kind of the fun one. I don't have to put anyone in timeout over there. I don't have to ground anyone. It's just really kind of fun that I get to be, I am blessed to be a mentor to her. And I have that love that wants her to have the best and be the best and follow God's heart and, you know, all of those things. But I also get to be the kind of the cool one that, you know, I texted my daughter the other day and I said, oh, JK, and Jersey, who's 11, and she's like, Mom, you are too old to say JK. And I'm like, what? Are you kidding me? I'm not that old. Come on. And so we went back and forth, and then I did it to Maya the other day. I said, JK, am I too old? She goes, no. And I'm like, yes. So in someone's eyes, I'm cool. And that feels really good. So that's another great thing about being a birth mom is you get to be cool on some level and be right. And still have that love that you have, but still be really cool. And so yeah, that's pretty fun.
I love that too. That is, you know, I believe that if God puts it in your heart to adopt and foster down the road, I hope that you do. Illinois right now, where you live, actually is one of the states that are struggling and in need of foster homes and adoptive homes.
Yeah, what?
I've been researching them this past month, so.
Oh, have you?
I have. I was just up in Chicago.
Oh, we are about 2 hours west of Chicago, directly west. We live right on the Mississippi River. And
beautiful.
Yeah, it is gorgeous here. And, you know, I just keep having this feeling like even if it's to love someone for a little while, I mean, my heart would totally adopt every child that walked through my door, but you know, whatever God's will is, but just loving someone who doesn't have it, you know, I keep thinking in my head, if everyone adopted one child that just needed a home, everyone in America did, then there would be no more children that wouldn't have anyone to call mom and dad.
I so agree. And I believe, and I know that, you know, Adoption Associates, the wonderful people there, you know, that no matter how you come to adoption, if it's domestic, international, through the dependency system and foster care, there's many common threads, even with different types of adoption. And once it touches you, your life is forever changed.
Yeah.
And you then can pass that on and help other families and children. And, you know, I really, I'm sure that you and I will stay in touch, and I'm glad to help you in any way. And I'm just so grateful for you being here today and sharing your story.
Oh, absolutely. Well, I appreciate you asking, and, you know, I will never turn down a chance to talk about Miss Maya and how wonderful she is. So she brings a smile to my face every time I think about her. So it's a blessing to be able to share my story and Maya's story and, you know, where that began and how God used it, because He used it in an incredible way, and I am incredibly blessed to be used. So,
thank you again. We're blessed to have you here. I'm going to go ahead and end the show. If anyone has any further questions, they can reach out to us via Adoption Associates website, which is www.adoptionassociates.net, or our Facebook. You can just Google Adoption Associates, and they're on Facebook, and send us a message. And Brooke, I thank you again. It's been a wonderful Friday. You take care.
Thank you. You as well.
Okay. Bye-bye now.
Okay. Bye-bye now.
Bye.